Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
So let's now just introduce ourselves shortly to the public. And I would like to start with Georgia. You're in my screen. So can you kick it off? Just introduce yourself. What is the martial art that you're doing? What's your age? Where are you located? Something like that.
So hey guys, you can probably hear from my accent. I'm from Australia. I'm in Melbourne. I compete when there's no coronavirus in Muay Thai, so Thai kickboxing. I've done so for the past few years, and I have done Kyokushin karate since I was 12. So I made that transition after about 10 years of karate over into kickboxing.
Epic, thank you. And Daniela, you're next in my screen.
Yeah, hello everyone. I'm Daniela, I'm living in the Netherlands, I'm German. My background is in Aikido for 10 years, but I also dipped my toes here and there in other martial arts, mainly while working with the police forces. And I'm 37, yeah.
Thank you, wonderful. Then we go to Mallory.
Hi, Mallory Graham here, and I'm coming at you from Seattle, Washington in the United States. And I am a sixth dan in Aikido, and I have been practicing for about 32 years. I started out when I was in college and just saw it and completely became a fanatic, you know, started training every day, loved it. And then ended up starting my own dojo here in Seattle, 20 some years ago. So Seattle Aikikai has been around for a while as well too. And I have loved that transition to teaching and giving back.
Wow, thank you. What a richness here in this panel. My name is Rama Pellman. I'm 44 years old. I started with karate, that's my practice, when I was 10. And at a young age, I started doing competition. I did world championships. I trained with the names here in Europe, with Suzuki Sensei and Ishikawa Sensei, and with my own personal trainer here in Holland, Henk Cort Levers. It was a rich experience training myself, and I made the transition in teaching karate 17 years ago. So I've been practicing for a lot, 5 days a week, and I scaled it down back to two in teaching. And then I went into training other sports like Silat Sufyan Beladiri, which is weapon training, and karate is of course empty hands. And then going to weapon training was an addition on what I was doing. Next to that, I love Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I trained Wing Chun with Chris Collins, who has been here on our channel as well during this Tech 2020. So I would like to ask you girls, we have different ages, we're on different continents. What brought you to do your martial arts where you are? And what makes you tick? Why you're still in it after all this time? Anyone?
Yeah, I can go. I realize I didn't say my age. I'm sorry, I'm 26 years old. And originally I started karate because my mum did it. And so I had this really interesting upbringing where everyone else was fighting with their parents and I was literally sparring with my mum. And the community became such a huge part of my life that when I moved to another city, the first thing that I did was seek out some sort of combat sports. I ended up going to kickboxing because of timetabling, and I just fell in love with the really full-on nature of being really scared all the time, of being hit in the face quite hard and being elbowed and, you know, going on to compete and fighting. And now, further along in my, I suppose, martial arts journey, I've become really interested in the mental health side of why people are drawn to martial arts. So I have this whole podcast about why people are always saying martial arts saved me, why it is this constant thing that it's an outlet for people, why it is that, you know, people who have experienced trauma are often drawn to it. And there's now being books written about this phenomenon. So yeah, I'm really interested in what the essence of that is and then how we can help make it more accessible to more people so that they can also benefit from improving their mental health.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. I think, yes, it becomes a lifestyle, huh? So I guess that's one of the things that we can talk about is how it, does it affect your lifestyle? I think Daniela is like in her chair wanting to dive in, just go for it.
Yeah, happy to do. So I started martial arts actually when I was a kid with karate, and I was not allowed to continue because I had like health issues. So they basically told me no more sports until you're grown out. But I was always like somebody who wanted to like compete and being a warrior and so on. And I got my fix actually in the police. So I did there a lot of jiu-jitsu and kickboxing and boxing and sparring. Always like training with these like suitcases of men, and they're coming and they're grabbing your wrist and they're like, that's it. And then like do something. And I became increasingly frustrated with that because my reaction was always, if you grab me like that, I wouldn't try to get out. I would like try to blend with that. But I couldn't really put in words what that would be. And I was always looking for a martial art which kind of suit that. And in the end of my 20s, I came to Aikido and I went into the class and I came too late because I was all over the place and they let me sit out and I was a little bit like and I watched for a while before I was allowed to join the class, and I absolutely fall in love. And they gave me 5 tryouts and I knew after the first class, this is what I want to do. And I fell in love with Aikido a second time when I saw Miles, who came for a seminar a few months later. And I decided to get into like a very intensive student-teacher relationship, became uchideshi for a couple of years. And the application of Aikido to life, this is what fascinates me, and how you can actually use it in daily life without the techniques. The techniques are nice, but there's something deeper in that, the principles which apply to all kinds of things. And this is what keeps me inspired.
Yeah, beautiful. Mallory?
I love
actually, panelists, feel free to just, you know, step in and have a flowing discussion, conversation, because I think we have so much richness to bring to this panel. So, you know, I'm here, I'm one of you, I'm participating as well. So I don't want to do like moderation, like formally. So let's just kick it off and have a fun conversation.
I was going to say, I love the kick-ass nature of both of you, like really getting into it. And I have to say, my start in Aikido was very much, I wasn't looking for a martial art. In fact, it seemed odd to me. Like, I'm not the kind of person who I think would have walked into a dojo. I happened to just have to take an elective class in college. And it's really funny to be like, oh my God. And then that completely became my big like lifestyle, like aha moment, like this is my thing. And I think a lot of it is, you know, we all are looking for something, some sense of like meaning and, you know, what activity can we do that really juices us? And Aikido absolutely was that for me. You know, it is, I think it's transformative. I think I practice because there is a sense of it is the most fun thing I can do. I'm not going to go work out at a gym. Like, you know, a martial art really has kind of that workout, but also like that you're doing something bigger than yourself, you know, and then tie in the Japanese culture. But I'm going to say that probably the thing that got me to continue Aikido was my first year. I you know, had never come from like being combative at all, but I got hit in the face, like one of my first classes. And it was like this shock, like, oh my God, for women that often, you know, if you weren't in fights at school, that doesn't happen. And that moment of being like, oh my God, I should be really upset, to being like, actually, I just got hit in the face and I'm okay. right? And then you are like, oh, that's what this is all about. We're actually really trying to get that very intense dynamic of protecting yourself, but also really going after someone else to get that kind of engagement. And you don't get that in other things that we do in our life, right? So it is really what makes the martial arts practice so, so fascinating to me. So I have to say too, I have been really interested in getting more women to practice martial arts, because I'm like, where are we? We're missing, right? And one of my most fun classes is a women's only class where the whole exercise is to hit each other in the face. It's a great class.
Oh, that sounds so much fun. Yeah. It sounds crazy, but I practice with only men, and I have 3 female students. Yeah, so I'm lucky. I have 3 female students. I've had more in the past. But if I look at what ticked me to do martial arts, it's like when I was young, I was being bullied. I was watching a lot of kung fu movies with my dad, and he inspired me to just, you know, hey, but you like kung fu movies. Why don't we find a practice for you that fits? And there was karate in our neighborhood. So I started doing karate, and it was so much fun. That was the best thing, huh? Like practicing weekly, the discipline, having a sensei that would guide me. It's not only physically, but also mentally. So feeling that I'm competent enough to handle whatever in life comes my way. And in that journey from, you know, kick-ass fighting style thingies that I still do because I love the combative element. And I like the fact that getting older, I got more deeper in the wisdom of it. So I got more into the meditation part of doing martial arts and softening up and letting in and letting more flow, maybe less aggressive when I was younger and doing tournaments. I was like, wow, fighting, yeah? And I remember at a tournament, a girl came up to me and she broke a rule. It's a tournament rule. You don't do open hand technique in the face. It's the first thing she did. And I got angry and I just bam on her face. When I look back now, I'm like, oh my God, I was that wild. But it was also a part of life and age that you're young and you grow into it. And when you're young, you're more, maybe you're more, how do you call it? More into your feelings. And when you get older, you practice a lot, you get into this space where it's allowed your feelings, but it doesn't cloud your judgment anymore. So you can take a step back and be in the fight, either mentally or physically. So how does it work in your daily life? Because in my line of work, I'm a software engineer. I'm an IT architect. I work in banks and I'm in, you know, management. And I have these mental fights. I have these mental fights. So it's not anymore physical, but then I'm like, I have a case to make, or I have to convince you of something. I have to take a step back and listen into and maybe non-verbally communicate with you. So how do you see that, girls?
I have tried to have a second life, and I've spoken to lots of martial artists about their like their day job and then their real passion being their martial arts. And for me, I couldn't separate them. I tried and tried, and I was like, kept trying other jobs, and I was like, I just really only like this one thing, and I hope that I don't end up hating it because I do it all the time. But yeah, I went to uni and I studied exercise science because I wanted to learn more about how to be a better fighter and how to make people better fighters and the physiology side. I was fascinated. And then I went on to work in chronic pain. And I was kind of just being like to everyone, well, have you found a martial art that you could do? Like, you probably just need some kind of an outlet. Like, maybe the reason you have so much pain is because, you know, you haven't found your joy in life. And I was like, I don't think that I'm meant to be doing anything else. So yeah, my business is all set up around martial arts now. I work with women who have experienced trauma to help them learn martial arts. And it's just everything in my day-to-day is to do with training in martial arts. I will say that I took up climbing, like rock climbing, outdoor rock climbing. And I think I approach similarly to as if you're taking on a fight, but it's only against yourself. And I really like that aspect of it, and the aspect of being really, really scared and leaning into that feeling of being scared and sort of being out of your comfort zone I think I take a lot from what I learned growing up in training, but in terms of where I can apply it otherwise, like, yeah, it's all I'm doing. So I'm constantly applying it.
Yeah, it becomes a lifestyle. At one point, it becomes a lifestyle. Yes.
Yeah. And I would say too, I, you know, have had other careers doing other things, but I've always found myself coming back to the martial arts. Like, I'm a filmmaker by trade and ran a film school specifically to try to get more women into the media industry. So to try to get more women filmmakers in Hollywood. And I loved doing that work, but I would always make sure that as part of the filmmaking curriculum, I had all of the girls take an Aikido class too, right? Because I'm like, oh, you guys really need this, because there is a sense that the, what we learn in the martial arts, and especially, I just think it's so good for women in terms of just your sense of your agency, right? And the fact that you have a toolkit now of when to enter, when to blend, when to retreat. And I just think that is such good training for women that I just found myself being like, yeah, I can do all these other things, but there's something about getting people in their bodies for them to learn those things. So even though I was trying to teach empowerment to girls through film, which absolutely worked, but I've seen more faster, deep transformation for people when they can actually put it in their bodies through actually training in martial arts rather than other things that are just a little bit more heady.
Yeah, for me, it's also, I kind of be with you. There's hard to separate actually. So the longer you train, at least for me, don't want to speak for anyone else, but the longer I train, the more the principles get infused in how I relate to life. So when I'm in a conflict, I'm centering first. I do feel my body. I do feel my feet. I learned this in Aikido. I do get a sense of physical balance, because when you're mentally out of balance, you're usually also physically out of balance. You're kind of leaning forward or you're leaning back, like fight, flight. And these kind of principles, like being centered, being balanced, sometimes playful, sometimes more serious, they kind of infuse in every moment of life. So for me, it's hard to separate out, and I wouldn't necessarily call it Aikido, because it is like, it's not the techniques anymore, it's the principles beyond. Like when you're going through in a street, which is very crowded, like simply blending with the people around, like that can be very playful. Or when you are, I don't know, when you're like in a conversation and at this like actively leaning forward or leaning backward, and seeing how that influence and like leading the conversation through that. So that is where for me the principles actually coming in, and they're really getting infused in life, no matter what you're doing.
So is it then also, Daniela, is it also the values that you got from practicing a martial art, the values that you bring and incorporate in your life?
Yes, I think a part of my value structure is coming from Aikido, why I'm doing the conference, like the whole discipline, the whole structure, the reliability, responsibility, which at least I learned a lot in the police and later being Uchideshi, that when you say you show up for something, when you promise something, you do show up. There is no way around. So that is certainly something which is valued by others from me, which I learned partly in the martial arts and partly because I brought it in. So I think training martial arts, or my draw to martial arts, is also a little bit my personal neuroticism, which I kind of trained through that. So now getting out of this neuroticism of structure and discipline into creativity and being flexible, that's a whole new area for me.
Yeah, I love that you touched on structure. It's funny how much it comes up with why people are drawn to martial arts. Like maybe you already had it and you feel that you brought that in. But in my conversations with people about why people are drawn to martial arts, structure is the thing that comes up the most, that people crave having this, and karate especially, but all martial arts have such a clear progression. It's just something that you can have in your life that has there's clear rules, there's a hierarchy that you follow, there's a progression, whether it's a belt system or whether it's a technique learning system, there's always a progression that no matter what else is going on in your life, you have this structured system that you can follow. And that brings just like a sense of so much calm to people when they know that no matter what else is happening, I have this one thing and I can see that I'm improving, which is kind of like what all humans crave, I think.
Yeah, it's giving a sense of safety. Structures creating a frame or container which creates safety.
Yeah, it's also maybe the respect. Yeah, you enter a dojo, you bow. Mm-hmm. You meet each other on the mat. You acknowledge each other because together you train. So in my training, we still bow. Yeah, we do. Of course, we do. We bow for the sensei and for the lineage. We acknowledge that in every session when we train. And the second is we bow for each other, because without each other, we're not growing. So that in itself is already a community building aspect.
Don't you think it's funny though? I was thinking that most people don't come into a martial arts dojo thinking that that's what they're looking for. They're coming in because they're looking for like self-defense or something. But after we've been doing it for years, all of us, you realize that it's the learning the etiquette and the structure and that sense of kind of safety, because we are all kind of in this container, that ends up being so important. And it, we lose sight of kind of what made us walk in the door to begin with.
Absolutely. I would almost argue, and you could make an argument either way. I think there is research showing how useful learning self-defense is, but you could also argue that, and a lot of people at this conference will have learned that there's a freeze response to trauma, and a lot of people will just shut down in a self-defense situation. But what we find through people who have researched embodiment and martial arts, which is really exciting, I think, particularly in women, people who have researched women in martial arts and how that helps them with their embodiment, is that you learn to take up space, because you've been going through this whole system and you've learned that you have a place in that system, and that your place as a woman, like Mallory's, which is sixth Dan, she stands at the top of the room. If there's men in that room, does not matter. She is the highest ranked and the most highly skilled. Does not matter if they're 30 kilos bigger. And having that as a part of your sense of who you are is, I think, so powerful and really changes the way that you take up space. And I think that that's what then, you know, you went in thinking you were going to learn self-defense and that you thought that meant that you were going to learn moves. And I think it just is so much more than just learning some self-defense moves, right? It's about becoming a person who no longer is a victim, about becoming someone who has agency, about becoming someone who feels that they are worthy of taking up space.
And I think that's also important. If you're, it's irrelevant if you're a woman or a man, yeah? You learn how to handle your own body, how to interact with the other person. You learn also discipline and skill, of course, but it's much more in a safe environment container, because the dojo is a testing environment. It's you're taking baby steps. Every day that you come to train, you take a baby step in your learning and you're improving yourself little by little. Yeah, is my foot correct? Is my hand correct? Am I having the right distance towards the opponent? Am I engaging or am I held back? What's going on? What's my mood? So there's a lot of testing and a lot of exploration going on that I find very exciting. And that's why I'm still into teaching this, because when I think all of us, we have taken a deep dive from practice to teaching and mastery in that sense. Can you maybe, I would like to invite you. Can we say something about that?
I was going to jump in. I love what you said, Georgia, about taking up space. And if I were going to sum up, like, you know, what have you gotten out of 32 years in the martial arts? I could just easily say, I've learned how to take up space in a room, you know? And I think, again, you're right, it's not entirely gendered, right? I mean, a ton of people, men as well, need to figure out how to own and inhabit their own space, be comfortable in their own bodies, have that sense of agency. But in particular, I think it's such a good bit of training for women, because, you know, culturally, we are taught how to not take up space. You know, one of the biggest things I have to train women in my dojo in is how not to apologize all the time. right? Like they'll like, actually they'll make contact somehow because their, you know, male uke didn't get out of the way. And the first thing they do is they apologize. And I'm like, no, you did what you were supposed to do, you know? So definitely that sense of taking up space and learning how to be in the world a little bit differently, especially when we look at our gendered roles. I think it's a really, really powerful part of what martial arts has to offer.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm wondering if, how to frame it. So there are certain exercises you can probably do in order to learn to take space, and you change your embodiment by training martial arts. So there's like, it's a process which like infuses each other. So when I'm training martial art, I change the embodiment, how I actually appear in the world, but also the way how I appear in the world I'm bringing into the dojo. Because what Roma already said, the dojo is a microcosm, in which we can experiment, in which we can calibrate, in which we can really try out what works and what doesn't work. And it doesn't have huge consequences. When I'm starting to experiment in an actual situation where I'm getting attacked and it doesn't work out, it really has consequences. And in the dojo, it doesn't. So it's like a safe place where I can actually experiment and where I can try out different embodiments and see what works and what doesn't work and how other people actually react to that.
I think that's so profound, because that's one of the things that people feel the safety when they come into the dojo. They feel the safety to, you know, learn how to kick. Oh, I'm being touched. You know, I can handle a punch. I can soften my body and handle that punch. And oh, what, I can kick back. Yeah. So that makes it also fun. It's also a soft learning experience where you give and you take, you receive. I think that's one of the best things, where you're gradually learning and deepening your experience. If I look back at my practices that I've been doing, it's also been fun rolling with the men on the floor. Yeah, sweaty men and sweaty women, and it doesn't matter. It's like all of us there and having fun and laughing. And actually the best is when somebody tries to take me over, take me down, and I can do something. I don't have to be a receiving end woman that just gets the blow and there's a man on top of me and what to do now. I have tools in my toolkit to handle that.
Oh, yeah, so empowering. I think for me, like you said, you do some jujitsu, Brazilian jujitsu. I've dabbled in a little bit, and I love how, I mean, in kickboxing and in karate and stuff, like, yeah, I can win on points. And like, if we're sparring, like, of course, technically I'm going to be much better than somebody maybe coming in newer. And there's lots of situations where I feel like, yeah, I'm beating a man. But I think in jiu-jitsu, it's so much more absolute when you can submit men. And Brazilian jiu-jitsu, of course, for anyone not familiar, was really designed for small people to beat bigger people, right? Helio Gracie was so much smaller than all the Japanese counterparts. And so it's so exciting when you're just like, oh, just technically I know how to use my body, and I know the benefits of my body too, because I've got very long, flexible legs that I can use to do things that the guys can't. And I'm just like, yes, like I can win in this context. And you just, that whole rest of your week, I think, when you have situations
power.
Like that.
Let's not forget it. Yeah. Yes, women have hip power.
Yes.
Yeah, the equivalent for that in Aikido practice would be Nikyo, you know, being able to go after a man's wrist that isn't very strong when you're like half his weight, you know, is pretty gratifying for sure.
I did actually notice that a lot of women are much, much better in Aikido, much quicker learners than actually men, because they use not to use their power or their physical strength. They use to blend with that. They, because it's a necessity, simply because most women are physically less strong than men. And this can be in a lot of martial arts, this is actually a disadvantage, but there are some situations, and I found this very profound in Aikido, though not exclusively, where this is actually an advantage, because you don't need to go through this like constant trying to do it with force before you actually can relax into the letting go. So I noticed that women in particular have less problems with that, because they're getting quicker into this use of blending practices and not trying to oppose the force with which the attack comes in.
Yeah, definitely. So there are martial arts that are actually very good for women. So let's say Wing Chun was designed for a woman. And then in real life, if you look at the world, most men are practicing Wing Chun. While it's a martial art specifically designed for women, where you're actually using your skills as a woman, where you're soft and flowy, yeah, so more water element in it, that you can just practice in your martial arts. Well, while karate that I've been practicing was mostly fire and earth. And suddenly I find myself in this water world where I'm like flow and softness, and which is more appealing to my body. How would you say that martial arts in that sense that you've been doing helps you in that? Because if we think of elements, the four elements, like air, Aikido is more air, yeah? Because they're like kicking high up and jumping. And karate would be more earth, because we're like, bah, here on the floor and grounding. And the fire element to it, which most of them already have. Please. If you can.
I've never thought about what element all of the martial arts would be. I suppose most of my time now is dedicated to Muay Thai. And traditional Muay Thai is always done, and as it is done here in Melbourne too, with Thai music in the background. If anyone's ever watched, it's like, it's a very almost like snake charmer kind of music. And Thai fighters also kind of sway when they're fighting too. And it's very, I think on the surface, does not look so much like it is a dance that it really, really is. And one of the promoters that I fight for, he always has this poster out the back where the fighters can see it. And it says, always display beautiful Muay Thai. And Muay Thai is so violent. Really, it is very violent. But to me, I think it really feels quite like this to and fro, back and forth kind of thing. And especially in Thailand, it's very accepted as that it's going to be this back and forth kind of thing, where you're going to take a hit, give back a hit. And I think that there is some element of the feminine energy that is quite useful for that. If you're always in the masculine, if you're always in the wanting to go, 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 then you can't receive. And as a fighter, I think one of the things that I'm still working on, and I'm 26, so I have so much to learn in my fighting career, but is being in the feminine energy and seeing what my opponent is going to offer to me. So what are they going to do to me? And being able to observe that and then respond to it. Because if you're always in attacking, if you're always in the masculine energy, you can't see where their weaknesses are, because you're too self-centered. You're too focused on what you want to do. But if you focus on what they want to do, then you can exploit some kind of a weakness. So I think that's where I think of the energies. I'm not sure what element.
Oh, though. Nice.
I think it's probably fire.
Yeah, that sounds like fire.
Okay. So I have to say, being double your age, Georgia, I think you're already like onto something for sure. but as you were asking the question, Rome, I was trying to, put it into pieces, because definitely all of those elements, fire, water, earth, air, and we practice, in different ways at different times in different times of our lives too, right? Like, I definitely feel like I've had fire years in Aikido. But I think also for me, what that ends up evolving into is figuring out how I can bring all of those four elements into every technique every time, right? So that's where I think it becomes pretty interesting too.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's more incorporating all the elements in your practice, because you can be fiery while I'm doing karate. I can be fiery, but I can also be water. I can be soft and flowy because I'm letting you go. I'm letting you pass and I'm being courteous. Yeah. So I don't have to hit you, but I can just, you know, evade or pass it by. And also, I was thinking of the different martial arts styles, because I was hosting Vladimir recently. That was epic. And there was so much of elements in his style as well. So it's not only the fire element, but also like maybe absorbing and giving back. So that's also the flow of energy where you work with. And but Georgia, just coming back to you and your martial arts in competition, because I've been doing competition as well. When I was younger, I was like heavy into it. What makes you do competition? And are you fighting only women, or are you also fighting men?
I haven't fought men since I did karate, and never in competitions. I don't think. Maybe when I was very young, they allowed that. But pretty quickly, it's a Kyokushin karate, for everyone who doesn't know, is very full contact. So I don't think they would ever allow mixed genders for
I don't think Kyokushin will allow that. It's too heavy.
I think they would get in a lot of trouble if they allowed that. They might be keen. And then in Muay Thai, no, I'm exclusively fighting women. And a whole different thing than I had ever experienced with karate is, you know, it's tournament fighting. And so you're expecting to fight a few women on the day. But this is like very, it almost felt like a big media thing. You know, they have lots of photographers at the weigh-ins, and you weigh in the day before, and there's this whole ordeal around cutting weight, and certainly unhealthy practices, but normalized practices of, you know, dehydrating and making a very small weight to then blow up to a bigger weight the next day, and everything that comes with that, and then fighting the next day and fighting women. But what draws me to compete, I think, is I'm very competitive. I like to challenge myself. I'm very goal oriented. I like to have something to work towards. And I always say to people too, like I can distinctly remember being 16, 17 and being like quite well versed in karate. I was competing in like under 18s. And even when I was 18, I was competing. I was traveling a lot to compete. And I said, I watched a Muay Thai fight. I said, I'm never going to do that. That's ridiculous. I would never do that. Imagine being elbowed in the face. That's crazy. And then I started training, and then I started sparring. And then I went to Thailand, and then I came back and my coach said, well, what if you did a fight, but we make a modified rules, no elbows. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Keep in mind, they're still punching in the face, and I had never been punched in the face. It's bare knuckle for Kyokushin, so you can punch the body, but because there's no gloves, you can't punch the head. So I went straight into that. And after a few fights, I was like, we need to bring in the elbows. Like, this is boring now. Like, you know, make it more crazy. And it's still this weird thing where if I really sit in it and people are like, why would you want to do that? It seems like it's a crazy thing and it doesn't make sense. But if you think about it as little steps, and I think everything in life, if you break it down into little steps, is doable, then it sort of seems to make sense that it's only just one step above the thing that I did beforehand. But would you say
that you're fighting and challenging yourself to participate in a fight is also testing yourself and your boundaries?
Absolutely. I think you know, a lot that I've learned for how to ground myself comes from preparing to walk out to fight. And you know, growing up, I hated fighting too, mind you. Like, we got pushed to do it because we weren't allowed to grade if you didn't compete in full contact tournaments. And I was very adamantly, I just wanted to do kata. I just wanted to do kata for my whole life. And I was encouraged and pushed to do it. And it just sort of became more and more like it was a challenge that I believed that I could do. And so then I wanted to do it. I had that self-efficacy. And now it's just like having a moving target, but it's still fighting against yourself. And I think people who haven't competed, I struggle to explain this too. I haven't got the words where they're like, well, I just like doing sports where it's, you know, rock climbing or water skiing or, you know, snowboarding, where it's just me against me. Like, there's nothing that anyone else can do. And I'm like, no, but there's nothing that anyone else can do. There's nothing she can do. It's all me. I have complete control over, you know, really everything that's going to happen. And if I don't see that onus on me and that it's a test for me, then I've already lost because I'm just putting it all onto her. And then I'm, you know, 50-50 if she has a bad day or a good day, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely a way to test myself.
Yeah, and the testing itself, you also do in the dojo, of course. But then
of course.
The reason why I was out of the dojo and more in the competition for me was more that, you know, dojo is quite safe and we respect each other. We know each other. We have the same partner always, you know, within the dojo space, we have the same people we meet. So in competition, you meet different opponents and it may be full contact. Like Kyokushin is full contact. I do Wadokai, so that's semi-contact. But still in competition, that ends up full contact. Yeah. But that becomes then just a testing of self and also fighting yourself. Because before you enter your fight, there's also this moment where you're in confidence or out of confidence. You're trusting your abilities or not. And then you're testing it by doing. And actually, there's no way back. And I noticed that one of the things is also that, and this is also in life where you maybe have the fight before the fight. So let's go back to a little bit more spiritual and go to that bit where you're fighting, but you know before the fight.
I wanted to jump in on the competition conversation because like Daniela and I, you know, there's no competition in Aikido, which sometimes I think is, it would actually be good if people had to tap out in Aikido because you would know your place a little bit better. We all kind of want competition, but we don't have it. but I am super curious, having all of us on the panel, I have seen, you know, it's kind of fills the social media airwaves, all of these conversations about martial arts against each other, like Aikido versus MMA, or like everyone's trying to find what is the ultimate fighting art, right? And a lot of those conversations drive me friggin' nuts because there is a missing element. Like, you know, is it just like whoever can win, and what does winning actually mean if you started to bring in, you know, other components of why we do martial arts? But I've also really noticed that all of those conversations are dominated by guys. I have never seen a panel of women take on that, like, what's the best fighting martial art? And I'm like, is it just because like, we're like, that's just a stupid conversation to have? Or let me just throw it out to the rest of the panel. Like, what do you think? How do you engage when you hear that conversation happening in our world that we generally aren't actually a part of?
Oh, I love this question. My first thought is like, who cares? Who cares what the best is? I think the much more interesting question for me is, why do you want to know, and in what context? So there are actually two questions for me, like what is the need below to know? Is it because we had the conversation before about the elements, and my first thought was like, oh, Aikido's doing this all, and then I was thinking, no, actually, there is like a certain context, and there are certain styles, and there are certain situations where certain elements are like better fitting. And the same is like with this question, like what is it best for? So that's like tapping into the question you're asking, Mallory. What is winning actually? What does it mean? Is it the best self-defense, or is it the best in a competition, or is it the best for creating the ability to take up space, or to create empowerment in women or in men? So what is it best for? And then when we have this question, we can go into like, why do you want to know? What's actually the need and needing to know if my martial art or your martial art is better? And for me, this is a little bit if I'm going into the integral theory, which I'm a big fan of, it's like this kind of tribal culture, like the my group is like stronger than your group, and it doesn't make sense for me, sorry.
Yeah, I am like a member of, or I suppose I subscribe to an organization called Love Fighting Hate Violence. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but the founders are actually male, fantastic researchers from England. Love Fighting Hate Violence is, I suppose, what the name would suggest, which is that what we're all doing is learning to fight. And I think sometimes the perception is when you learn a martial art that you're learning how to inflict violence, and it's just not the case. And so in the question of which would win, well, it depends on the rule set. In an Aikido versus MMA is obviously difficult because it's not a rule set in Aikido, but in MMA there's a rule set, right? You can't knee someone's head when they're on the ground. So then, you know, in a kickboxer versus an MMA fighter, well, in the kickboxing rule set, then they're going to win. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make is they're all sports in terms of a winner or loser. It's not in terms of life. That's in terms of sport. They're all sports. So for fighting is a sport. We're learning how to do a sport. So you can't even compare the two. And I think that is the thing. And MMA and the UFC and things like that certainly sensationalize fighting and, you know, MMA as if it's real life, but it's still a sport because it has rules. There's still things you're not allowed to do. How many times do fights get disqualified because of an eye poke? Well, I could have just poked you in the eye one time and you wouldn't have beat me. So it doesn't matter how good your MMA is, right? So the whole question doesn't make any sense because it totally depends on the rule set. So then if you asking a question.
Yeah, and also Georgia, it doesn't even matter. You can have one technique in any style and be very good at it. And that one technique makes you win. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you get really lucky and the person just happened to turn one way and you happen to win. So do we have to do best out of three? To Mallory's point, what is winning? Well, if you had one good technique once, does that mean that you were the better fighter on the night? Certainly from a sporting context, we frequently see people who are winning the fight the whole way on points, and then the other person gets a lucky knockout. It's one of my favorite things about combat sports is that no matter what, you know, soccer doesn't have that. If you're down 5-0 and there's 30 seconds left, there's almost no point apart from within yourself, right? You're always building your own house, which I love, by the way, if anyone's read Chop Wood, Carry Water, fantastic book, but there's no point in trying because you've already lost. 30 seconds left, you're not going to score 5 goals. Martial arts, you always have a chance for that one lucky shot. But then that begs the question, just because you got one lucky shot, were you better? We got the win. But so there's so many holes, I think, in that argument. It's probably why that women don't have that, because our brains are very good at talking left to right hemisphere and contemplating and reflecting and evaluating. And we've probably already worked that out. So we don't see the need to stoke our egos about it on social media.
Well, and I love, Daniela, your phrasing of most effective at what, right? Because I'm going to throw out potentially too that more often than not, women have had the experience that you're always going to have someone bigger or stronger, right, in front of you when you're practicing. And so, you know, there have been a lot of studies done where even if I have my 30 years of martial arts in my, you know, back pocket, if I were actually literally attacked by someone twice my size, I would go to basic self-defense. I would like kick in the groin and bite, you know, and like my Aikido would be out the window. So it's kind of like, there's this sense too of like, most effective at what? Like, I'm going to do something else if my life really depended on it. And then I would throw out most effective at getting you dates and interesting and impressing women. No, because we don't like that conversation and it's boring to us.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, all of you. It's exactly what you say. We're 10 minutes to ending of session. So there are a few questions. So I'm going to ask a few. There are 3 questions here, and I'll start with the top one because it got a vote. You guys, you can upvote for a second. Upvote or downvote a session. I think upvoting is the key. So let's see the question. Question one, how have you folded in martial arts in your life to the larger umbrella of fitness? Do you work out in other ways as well? And what does that add for you that the dojo misses? So did you guys get that question?
I can give my two cents for that. The more I train Aikido, the less fitter I am because I need less force. So I do need to work out more to stay fit. In a way, like I love to go to the dojo. I just like do the exercises, some like book and kata or rolling around or this kind of stuff simply to stay fit. But funnily, I used much more force when I started martial arts than I'm using now. So less muscle, I just don't need more, so much anymore.
Yeah, and I would say it's been really important for me, especially as I have gotten older in practicing Aikido, to blend in some other arts that gave me a better sense of moving functionally more integrated and some more awareness of anatomy. So yoga has been a huge kind of complement to my martial arts training. And I think it's going to be the reason I'm going to be able to continue in the martial arts, you know, well into my older years, because I do think without it, I was really missing something and in a position to be training in a kind of unhealthy way.
I'm very different, I suppose, coming from the exercise science background. And I strongly believe that in Muay Thai, you don't have a big gas tank. You're not going to be able to do well no matter what your skill is, because particularly women have a huge output in fighting. One thing that I've noticed, I'm not sure if this is just my observation, but women tend to do more volume and men actually tend to do less volume and more calculated striking. I don't know what that is about what gets in, but makes women just want to go 100 million miles an hour. But you're exactly going to expect that. If you fight a woman, she's going to come at you with a high volume and you need to be able to match that. So I do a lot of assault bike training. So that's the bike with the pedals like this, mostly because I despise running. I do some running begrudgingly when the coaches are insisting, but I do a lot of strength and conditioning. I do a lot of specific strength and conditioning for clinch strength. So the ability to grab someone's head and pull it down is made much better if you have much stronger biceps and clamp in Muay Thai. I do a lot of injury prevention. So I train weights both for explosive power and very slow and under tension and controlled, to try and make sure that the muscles that I am building up excessively from doing a lot of techniques over and over again are balanced in the other direction. To go, I guess, a little bit higher tech, I do a lot of eccentric loading. So that's in a contraction, you either have the concentric or the eccentric, which is the lowering. And I'll do a lot of heavy eccentrics to basically increase the resistance that my muscles have, or the ability that they have to be able to slow down any kind of movement if I need them. So it's an injury prevention thing. That's pretty much what my complementary things are. And in terms of how I stay motivated for them, I'm always doing visualization for fights when I'm thinking about that. So I'm visualizing my opponents, I'm thinking. And it's not always like with a specific face, but I'm always imagining being in the fight, not giving up because of like my gas tank giving up, which has happened to me in the past. So I know what it feels like to gas in a fight. I don't want to have that ever again.
Yeah. And that's also complementary to what I'm doing, because I'm doing a lot of breathing techniques. So there's breathing yoga, and there's also a Wim Hof method that I'm practicing, that I'm also... you know, I'm swimming here in the river in Amsterdam. We have a river, the Amstel, and I'm just swimming in there from April on and until now. I'm still swimming there. It's quite cold, but you have to breathe and go to the belly, and that is what gives you more gas in the fight. Yeah, so it's also endurance, and breathing is big part of that, and not only muscle, definitely. There's another question: have you seen female students leave a dojo because of gender issues?
Absolutely. I think it is a huge issue for martial arts dojos to really be addressing. I don't know about other martial arts, but I know in Aikido, our numbers are quite low. We're less than 16% practitioners are female. And I think most of the time women are leaving dojos and they never say why, you know? It's very rare that someone's going to come out and be like, this is why I left the dojo. But I have been really, I've been looking at this issue and studying it and looking at some of the numbers. And like in particular, Aikido Journal just did a great study about representation just in Aikido. I don't, again, don't know about other martial arts. But there was also a really interesting drop off that women often quit right before black belt. And I think that's fascinating to look at why that is.
It's also interesting to look at the women who stay and what kind of embodiment they have. I saw it very much in Iwama Aikido, which is a bit of a harder style, that there is a certain embodiment in this woman who stay in the martial art. Either they're quitting just before black belt or they're quitting after, or when they stay, they become, they get a lot of masculine energy. Like they're not becoming masculine, but they're getting this masculine energy of being really fierce and straight and strong. But it comes to a price, of more allowing yourself to be more feminine in this environment. And this is something I saw quite a lot, not in every dojo and not in every style, but there is a pattern to look at.
Oh, that's actually a very good question that you're raising, Daniela. I think being a woman, it's also in a men's world, yeah, in my field of work and all the places where I go to. I studied physics. I've been with men often, yeah, in my IT world, it's also men, and also in the dojo, it's men, and it's also, it comes to a sacrifice where you're one of the guys versus being an independent person and then having that feminine part in it. So I think doing EFC, we did embodiment facilitator course, Danielle and I know each other from that, it's one of the practices I chose to extend my femininity was to do salsa dancing. Yeah, so I could explore still my fire element that I have, but then be in touch with being a woman and explore being a woman in that sense. So that expanded my reach. So also, if you look at practices, what is it that you're building? What is it that you want to build? What quality do you want to have? And I think that's embodiment. It's what is it I want to have that I want to show more or show up in more?
Yeah, I have to say, I love this topic of it not being gendered specifically, but what quality or characteristic of a gender do we take on to actually succeed in our martial arts? And in particular, with all of the conversations recently about race, which have been amazing, people have been using this term of code switching, especially if you are multi-race, that depending on what race you're around, you'll switch to basically talking like that race to fit in. And I think women do that a lot. We code switch when we are predominantly in a male dominated sport like martial arts, to actually code switch to be more male, to be accepted in that art. And we don't even realize that we're doing it, but absolutely, I have taken on a lot of those characteristics, and it has been a long journey to actually get way more comfortable with actually letting a more feminine side come out in the martial arts, for sure.
Oh, that's so rich. I would like to say that, well, we're coming to the end of the session and we're just barely touching the topics. And I think we can sit here for a few more hours. It's been wonderful having you on this panel. I would like to thank you very much for, you know, participating, bringing your wisdom to the table, for the attendees that you raised your questions, that you were here to listen in. And there are some chat thingies going on here. Like, yeah, people have been actually been very, very interested in what we've been saying. And people wishing that they could have had the question answered. But I would say that if you have questions, just reach out to us. I think all of us have been speakers here in the conference. People can reach out to us. They can find us and we are available. But it's here in Holland, 12 o'clock at night, midnight. And I would like to bring this panel to a close. Thank you very much for being here. Any last words? I would say, last sentence. Let's start with Georgia. A last sentence. Give takeaway for people.
I think take up space, spend the rest of today. It's 8 a.m. here. Spend the rest of the day, even if you just pretend that you deserve to take up space. Really quickly, one of my good friends, Chloe McLean, who's a black belt in Scotland and a researcher in embodiment, gendered embodiment in karate, she says, always just act as if the sensei is watching you. And then it's his fault that you had to take up space. So maybe spend the rest of the day, your sensei is watching you. Or I love that. Yeah, I even just went to his fault. It would be her teaching the class. He or she is watching you. And so that's why you have to take up space if you don't want to.
Beautiful. Thank you. Mallory.
I'm going to add on to that because I was going to say take up space too. I just love that theme. But I'm going to also say this is your assignment for the day. Walk into a space and not only take up space, but own that space.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I would go with don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't need to be a certain way in order to be kick-ass or badass. It is already there. Don't be afraid to be yourself.
Yeah, I would add to it, be yourself and explore how it is to be yourself. And that makes everything fun. Thank you so much.